Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see. Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life. Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Yes, indeed. Many blessings to you, my brother Jack. Thank you very much. Before we do anything, let's take a roll. Let's do roll call. So once we know who we are, we are free to be who we choose to be, who we choose to do, who we choose to, and you can make that mean whatever you want, but you can choose to do and be and have whatever you want. Carly Jackson, roll call, please.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. And I am free.
Now that's the most important thing. You are free to do what you want to do. Now, do you believe it, or is it just something that you say? Well, today we're going to find out, how free is your love? How comfortable are you with who you are? Well, it doesn't matter where you are. We want to hear it. Even if you agree or disagree, it's all about a conversation. That's what life is about. And to make it easy for all of us, we're going to create a soft place, so we can be who we want to be and show up fully and know that all is truly well. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show. We'll be right back.
We don't have to make love, but it's all right with me. Contented perfectly to see you smile. There is nothing I want more than hold you near, be in love's atmosphere, together we two. I know that all things take time, but if the stars are aligned, we may find something divine tonight. And should we tear down the
repeatedly round love's door.
because of you. What you gonna do now, Bridget? I get passion, I get you in love, but I mean, come on. What if he knows that love is truly freedom? And he has a choice to be with whoever. And of course, yes, same goes for the females. soft place. That's what it's about. It's about creating soft places for ourselves in relationship, romantic and otherwise, in our life experiences, that we may fully experience, express, truly know who we are, and setting all those limitations on fire, blowing them down. That's right. It's a new way to do love. This is the month of October, of course, and our theme for the month is Say Yes to Love. How deep is your love? How far does your love go? How far does your love go? How deep is it? What is love? Are you free to be who you want to be, whatever that is? We're going to talk more about that. That was Bridget Bryant, Soft Place. You can find out more about Bridget Bryant by going to her website, bridgetbryant.com. And this is Life Conversations Radio. I am so grateful for this moment. Grateful for the opportunity to grow and expand and share. And get to fall in love with ourselves in a whole new way, as all limitations and fears are breaking away. Thank you, God, for this moment. Thank you, God, for the transformation. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to go back and examine our communication, to go back and look at what we agreed with and write a whole new story. We embrace all that's moving on the planet, and we especially give thanks for Mercury retrograde. We get to do things all over and make it good. From that place of goodness, I want to welcome you. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio. As you tune in to yourself, because you know tuning in to yourself reminds you of who you are. When you remind yourself of who you are, you make a difference. And we're encouraging you to just not make a difference, to just start living, to start doing something small. I welcome you to the Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show. And I Am is your host. And the I Am presence is uniquely expressing as Life Coach at a. And we're getting ready to go deep. I don't know why my sound is choppy. I can only blame it on Mercury, but I won't blame Mercury. I just embrace Mercury. Well, I'm going to try something different for now. And then, breathe and push. Yeah, I was waiting for you. No, I wasn't. Oh, maybe I was. Yes, but we're here. I'm much better, I think. We're having a conversation about open relationship, and we all get to grow and expand. I have my panel in the house, and we're going to blame this on Monique. Monique started something. Monique got us talking. She said, my ambivalence about cheating, you know. Hey. This is just how I live my life. And she just dropped another one. But, yes, I'm grateful for who she is on the planet, helping people look at themselves. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a Radio Show, where we have set the intention to support you on your transformation journey. Life is about growth. It's about expansion and learning to love yourself just as you are, asking yourself, what do you really believe? And this is today's conversation is a... It's somewhat a new conversation, but it's not. People have been having open relationships. Some people have been having open relationships and lying about it. Like, no, boo, it's just you. Yeah, right. Now people are in a place where they can talk about it, and there's a conversation around it. And some people are playing with that idea, but you're worried about your grandma, what your grandma said or what God is going to say to you or do to you. If you want to have more than one lover, God's going to be very upset. I don't know what kind of God you serve. But anyway, let me start bringing on my panelists. I want to start with Monique. And actually, let me tell you a little bit about them, because we want to we want to go in details. We've got a lot of questions. So my Monique is the first person I'm going to bring on. Mercury, stop messing with my head, because it doesn't take much. Monique Ruffin is a contributing writer for Huffington Post and Purple Clover. She's also an activist, life coach, and mother. She's coming on in a few seconds. Kasembe Abena, he's a certified Reiki master, energy worker, and a channeler. Ashande Among, he's a practitioner, Centers for Spiritual Living, a practitioner at the Centers for Spiritual Living, an urban mystic, soul-filled artist, poet, and a spiritual activist. And, of course, Gregory E. Woods, a.k.a. Don Wolf. He's a musician, a writer, a social activist, and a keeper of stories. So let me bring on Monique first, and then I'll bring on the brothers who are here. I think our series with the brothers is going to be like on a monthly thing, but I just trust the flow. So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my panelists. But first I'm going to bring on Monique. Hello, Monique. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. Good morning. How are you?
Good. You know what I want to say? I want to say you troublemaker, you.
Yeah, I know. I can't even help it. I really can't. I guess just sort of my natural way. Like, it's not, I just stir the pot.
Yes, you do. You know what I call you? What did I call you again? I call you a shift starer, because you like to stare the shift. Not the other one, the shift.
Right.
And you're staring the shift right now. I mean, I really appreciate you. I love you. I love how you live your life out and share your story. It inspires me. And so I'm going to bring the brothers on, but the first thing I want to do is just talk a little bit about your journey, especially around relationship, open relationship, but I really want to focus more, because I think what triggered this conversation we're having is your article about my ambivalence about cheating. And can you just talk to us about that and the kind of response you got?
Well, I didn't really know that cheating was such a hot topic in our country. It is it is like the most popular topic online, where people get the most comments, and like more than the government shutdown, more than the wars in the Middle East. People care about cheating. And it was shocking to me. My editor said, you know, made some suggestions about some things that I should write about. And I thought, I had no energy on the cheating thing. And I just realized that I was pretty much ambivalent about it, and to some degree. And what I mean is that I have seen it in my experience. I have been unfaithful. I've had people be unfaithful to me. I have watched friends go through really painful relationship experiences around infidelity. And I have come to realize that it is simply a human experience. Like, it just, it's as much a part of our growth as having cancer or losing a job, or like it is a experience that we have with another person that offers us an opportunity to grow. And so I just don't have the energy on it that most people do. So I just am like, oh, okay, this is an opportunity, a path for me to choose so that I can grow and grow with this person, possibly, or grow from within or whatever. It just, I could care less about it. That's really all I could say. I just don't care about it.
In the article about my ambivalence about cheating, I love what you said here. I mean, you said people can create any relationship they desire. And for me, intimacy means that I show my whole self to my partner. Keeping corrupting secrets is not a practice with an intimate relationship. I have decided that none of my relationship will be exclusive. Each person is free to do and be with whom they desire. My partner belongs to himself, and I belong to myself. Cheating has been rendered impossible, and if he likes, I am happy to listen to his story and experiences with others. For me, unconditional love at its best. That's just powerful. I mean, that frees people, but it's not always easy to practice, right?
It's not at all easy to practice. It's like, for me, I struggle with it because the reality is that you need two people to make that agreement to have that be the experience of the relationship. So even though I might feel like, oh, I'm going to come and share myself and be transparent and really be as fully myself, open with no secrets. And secrets don't have to be like, oh, I'm sleeping with another person. A secret can be, oh, you said something that my feelings, like I have these feelings about something you said, or I had this thought about me. Like, you know, I don't feel attracted today. I feel bad, and I think you're going to judge me, or I did this thing, and I feel like you're not going to like me. Like, a secret, like, we have those kind of thoughts all day long, and we don't share them with the people that are close to us. So when I talk about transparency, I'm talking about the nitty-gritty transparency. I'm not talking about, oh, I saw this hot guy over there, and I want to go have sex with him. Like, that's small. I'm talking about really revealing the truth of who you are. Oh, I woke up feeling insecure today. I'm going to do this talk show, and I'm so afraid of how people are going to receive it. Like really being truthful with who we are, with the people who say they love us, and as much as we can, out in the world. Like, just being real. Like, everybody has a space of vulnerability. So when I'm talking about showing up in a relationship as my whole self, I mean everything. And rarely is that about another man. That's usually about how I'm feeling about myself, or how I'm feeling about my partner, or how I'm feeling about my art. It's usually about me and the world and how secure I am today. And do I have a partner that can meet me there? I feel jealous. Like, I actually, like, just because I'm willing to be in an open relationship doesn't mean that I might not see my partner, you know, interacting with a beautiful woman and think, wow, she's gorgeous. Like, she's more gorgeous than me. Or I feel really insecure about how beautiful. Like, and can I share that with my partner? Can I share that and just be revealed and have my partner not take it on as his responsibility, that now he has to do something to cure my jealousy? That's not his responsibility. But I get to be with my feelings and have them.
Yes.
And he gets to witness them if he wants to. And I mean, so it's really about revealing yourself for me. I know I said a lot.
I love you. Well, actually, and I'm going to bring the brothers on now. I'm going to, Kasembe, I'm coming to you, and Shande and Don Wolf. But in your energy, in your tone, what I hear under what you're saying is, I sort of hear that you're saying, what is the big deal? Now, and when I say what is the big deal, it's like, what's the big deal about this open relationship if you can acknowledge your truth, if you can acknowledge what you feel? I mean, really, in truth, I say, shouldn't this be what life is about? We always talk about honesty is the best policy, but when it comes to relationship, oh, no, you shouldn't share that with your partner. Oh, you shouldn't have thoughts like that. But it's not humanly possible, you know? So I want to bring on Kasembe, and I'm going to bring on – well, I'm going to just unmute the mic. So, brothers, Kasembe is coming on, Ashande is coming, and Dumb Wolf. Kasembe, how are you doing, my brother?
I'm good, Brother Ade. How are you, man? Great to be here once again. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Yes. Let me bring on.
Thank you. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. Appreciate the article. Wonderful. Wonderful article.
Thank you.
Don Wolf, say hello to our listeners and say hello to Monique.
Greetings, sister. I too got a lot of thoughts and feelings, and I appreciate the courage it took to write that piece that you wrote.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's nice to meet you this morning.
Now, Ashande, my brother, welcome.
Greetings. It's good to be here again, and I do enjoy the article as well.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay, so what I'm going to do, really, I'm going to be like the moderator. I'm trying to keep my opinions to myself, or my thoughts to myself, should I say. But, Kasembe, let me just go to you. Just whatever you're feeling about open relationship, or maybe something that Monique said that you want to respond to. Go ahead.
She said a whole lot, and Ade, I think the quote that you, what you quoted from the end of her article was really what struck me the most about her article, too. And I would have, you know, if I were to bring a quote from her article, I would have said the exact same thing you said, too. So really, that and also hearing what Monique has said about really getting down to the nitty-gritty and coming as your authentic self, to me it comes down to vulnerability, you know, really being vulnerable and then trusting that your mate, your partner, whomever you're in a relationship with, is going to receive who you are. You know, that to me, that seems like that's kind of the cornerstone of what we're talking about here. And when I hear people talk about their relationships and talk about what they're going through, there seems to be so little of that. There seems to be so little of people really bringing who they are to the table. It seems to be a lot of, you know, I need to appear to be this because I think that my mate wants this, or I need to fit into this role, or I need to fit into this caricature almost. I think that we can really get a whole lot farther and deeper and have more profound relationships when we really are saying, you know what, this is who I am, this is what I believe, this is it. This is it, you know, and really the truth of who we are. And also demand that from others and also be willing to accept that from other people as well.
Mm-hmm. So true. Don Wolf, what are your thoughts?
I had a lot of thoughts about it. And I was intrigued that Monique's words on paper and more so listening with my ear made me look at some of the emotions or reactions that I thought I had dealt with were still in there. But I've been watching on and off this show on cable. I think it's called Polyamorous, and it's about these couples, and all of them are white, of course. And I say of course for a reason, but
Please clarify that.
Well, I'll do it later because I don't want to lose my thought. I don't want to be too long.
Okay.
But they are in these relationships where they openly discuss how a married couple is going to take in another lover, male or female, and I watch the way they talk and communicate, and I found it very interesting to watch the show after reading Monique's piece, because I read the piece a few times, and then I remembered the show, and I watched a couple episodes, and I realized from listening to you, Monique, that it's like you said, you're going deeper than you're going deep into the realm of, as Kasembe said, of vulnerability, which often is people run from. And so part of me, or I should say the Puritan part of me, relaxed with this because, I bring up Puritan for a reason, but it relaxed to me because it's a dare. It's a challenge to the essence of my sense of what a warrior is. Because vulnerability, just like healing, is the part of the warrior that is not taught to young men who have the spirit of a warrior, and it creates the imbalance. And so this is very much a challenge, I think. I may be wrong, but it seems very much a challenge more to men that I know than it is to women that I know. Because when Kasembe said vulnerable, and Monica said the word she said, I kept hearing that, and I realized that that one word, that one thing to achieve is one of the most difficult things among the men that I know.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think that's one reason why I think it's important to have this discussion.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what about the
sex part
said,
is dangerous.
Before I go to Ashande, you said something about they're white, of course. You said you're going to come to that later. What do you mean by that?
Well, the reason I
the
said that was because in my travels and in a lot of the reading, I've found more adventure in this arena among whites that I know personally.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
I find a very more conservative approaches that are contradictory among people of color, among Indians and black folks. And
yes.
There's an adventurous spirit. I don't know if it's grounded in the solid things that they want us to believe, but I pay attention to them. And they're usually well-educated and financially comfortable or they're wealthy. And I wasn't saying it in a bad way. I was just, it was a cultural note. That's what I wanted to say.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I appreciate that because, you know, people can start making up stuff, and I know that. So anyway, I'm glad you clarified it. So let me move on to Ashande. Ashande, your thoughts. Actually, what I'm going to do, if you're moving around, I don't know who's moving around, please mute yourself because I want to just leave the mics open here. And let me go to Ashande. Your thoughts about open relationship or anything that Monique said that you want to add to?
Well, it's interesting because from the previous show, I first like to say my wife is the rock in my life and does so much for me, more than I can ever say. And so we're going to start with that.
You sound like the rappers when they get in the world. First of all, I want to give all of God. Now, for all my sneakers in the house. Okay, go ahead. That's great.
Because me and Monique share a common bond. She knows my wife. And I did not know this until after I brought the article up as a form of discussion.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't even know Monique was a part of the same spiritual community until after that. So that's interesting, that cycle of spiritual vibration, you know.
Who
but
is your
saying
wife?
That,
who is she?
Huh?
Erica. Who is she?
Erica DeMacis?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
Yes, I do.
So I have always believed in open relationships, and so I had already imparted that to my wife prior to our getting married. But if it's done in a spiritual component where people are trying to spiritually realize their God essence within, I'm all for that. It's my opinion. I've had that similar situation prior to being married, and it was okay for the duration of it. But what I have found is on the opposite side, most women have thought that it's just on a lower sensory thing, like you're just trying to get laid. And so I'm happy that we're having this discussion to see that it's more to it than that. If you're, you know, mature about it, you know, and I think that's a big thing, you know, maturity levels and all of that. And so that's all I had to say right now.
Yes. Okay. I got quite a few questions here that I'm going to go to, and I'm just thinking about. I want to go to considering, you know, since what the Wolf brought up. Let's talk about open relationship and people of color. Monique, what have you found in that context?
Well, I have found that generally people of color are mostly conservative, leaning towards Christianity and biblical principles, one man, one woman, and all the things that come before that, like not having sex before marriage, those are the principles that are espoused. They're not always practiced, but it is the ideal. And so black people, for the most part, are conservative. And there is a new community of black progressive people. Like I am connected to Carl and Kenya, Progressive Love, and they practice open relating, open love. Maybe polyamory is a word to you. So there are Black people now who are practicing these type of relationships, and you know, because when the culture shifts and changes, Black people are a part of that. And so it's happening,
yes.
But it is slow because the church has the cornerstone on Black living and lifestyle still today, for the most part.
Mm-hmm. I want to go to Kasembe about the same question, but Monique, as you were talking, what came to me is most of us have been doing open relationship. We were just secretive about it. Now people are talking about it. You know, we got divorced or somebody cheated. Open relationship ain't nothing new. You know, if there really was a God up in the sky, then what's wrong with these people? Look at them. They're acting like this is a new thing. Y'all been doing it. Go ahead.
I would disagree with that because open relationship implies that you are transparent. So lying and being deceptive is not being open. Being open means I really do expose, reveal the truth of who I am. So it means, I am feeling like this in this moment. Like last weekend, one of my dear loves of my life, I just needed to be alone. And I needed to be alone all day long. I didn't want to text. I didn't want to talk. I didn't want any of it. In the past, I would have never had the courage to come to a partner and say, can I please have a day of no connection? I would just wouldn't have been able to do it. But that is me being transparent, taking care of myself, loving myself enough to then share who I am with him and not feeling like I had to take care of who he was, his response. He got to take care of himself and how he felt about it. And he was feeling really needy. He actually was feeling like he really wanted to bond. But I wasn't available. And I told him, I am not available. And so we talked the next day.
Thank you for that distinction, and I sit corrected. Let me go to Kasembe about people of color and open relationship. What's your experience?
I think Monique pretty much hit the nail on the head. I think that our relationship with Christianity has very much colored all of our relationships in and outside the bedroom, intimate in business, personal, family, et cetera. and I think that's undeniable. However, I do think that there's something interesting that used to happen. I have a friend in California, and she is in her early 50s, and she's spoken a couple times about certain relationships that she noticed when she was growing up, where there was a man living with two women his age, and no one quite knew what this other woman was or was doing there. And she said, you know, she noticed a couple of relationships like that, and people just accepted these people. So in her mind, you know, she kind of found out later that you can pretty much state that, you know, something was going on, that they had some sort of relationship. But there was no label to it. There was no one coming out saying we're polyamorous or, you know, we're a triad or nothing like that. But I think that through the years we have had our own brand of that, but it just looks different, or it's certainly at the least has been labeled differently, and that it still is, it's come through and it's been carried through a more communal atmosphere so that everyone just accepts everyone. But I think that it's kind of been there, particularly when we were more communal. But other than that, I certainly agree with what Monique has said. And I think there's a lot of fear there about stepping outside the pack, you know, stepping out, you know, we have kind of a pack mentality. So if you step outside of that, people will say, well, I have no support. I have nowhere to go. And particularly for Black people in this country, there are many reasons why we kind of tend to really hold on to that philosophy and really trying to be part of the pack. Also, her statement about transparency is a huge one. I think that there are a lot of misunderstandings about open relationships, and one of the main ones is that, listen, if you're going to do it the right way, and I'll say it first and foremost, it's not for everyone.
an open relationship, I don't believe it's for everyone. You have to really be in the right headspace and really be in touch with who you are and what you want. But I think that if you're doing it the right way, it absolutely is about trust. And if you're talking about really more than one person, maybe sometimes you can lie to one person, but it's really tough lying to more than one person. And two, it's tough lying to more than two people. That's what I'm trying to say. So it really forces you to be honest if you're doing it the right way and being mature about it.
Right, right, right. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. Today we're talking about open relationship. My panelists are Monique Ruffin. She's a contributor for Huffington Post and Purple Clover. We have Kasembe, who just finished talking. He's an energy worker, Reiki master. Ashande Amung, he's a practitioner at the Centers for Spiritual Living. And we have Don Wolf, who is the keeper of stories. If you have any questions, the number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. I'm going to go to Ashande now. I'm going to skip you, Don Wolf, because you've kind of shared your experience about open relationship and people of color. I want to ask a particular question. Ashande, you said you used to be in an open relationship. Now you're happily married with your wife.
Yes.
What made you change? What made you change? Did you have to compromise? Are you compromising? What caused the shift? Is it, or was it something that just, you know, you met your wife and you thought, that's it, I'm good with just her?
Well, that wasn't just my only route or path. And I also believe that in being open, it carries with it also intimacy. And so it is my opinion that in of itself is a more primary open or important thing for me was intimacy and being able to be transparent. So that, you know, you could share that with one person or two or three. You understand what I'm saying? So if someone fulfills all of that, then you can, of course, transcend and go to the next level or, you know, take it from this level and go, you know, so from the two, make it one.
Yeah, got it. So your
thoughts on... I will agree also with Kasembe, because when we were doing this thing, it wasn't called... I was trying to define it as that, because at the time, prior to this, I was in college in an anthropology class, and the professor, a female professor, Caucasian, was living that lifestyle. And... you know, she went into the science of it, the primate aspect of it, and all of this thing. And so that had fascinated me, you know. And I said, I studied on it, and I built on it in its spiritual context. So, when I went into the love thing, I found two sisters that were, and it just so happened they were from Islamic backgrounds. So maybe that was why they were more open to that. But we never defined it as anything, you know. After I lost trying to define it, I think that was that masculine energy trying to bring a definition to it. So it could be concrete and all of that, you know, instead of just gelling together. And when you get into the history of that, you know, that I often wonder why people of color, blacks in general, throw that Christian thing up, because it's filled in the Christian doctrine I was just saying, I often wonder because when you get into Abrahamic religions before they were transformed into these matriarchal things we have today, it was filled with these type of relationships. So, I mean, that was just the culture and climate of the time. So I find that humorous that black people resort to something that is actually from our slave history, you know, and not the true history.
I want to ask a question, and I appreciate you all sharing that. I want to go here, and I'm going to just, Monique, you're going to be an expert on this conversation, because, well, actually you are, because unless
I don't know. Kasembe, I don't know if he's married. I know Kasembe is not in an open relationship right now, or are you? Ashande is married. So if I'm wrong, correct me, Kasembe.
I kind of recently, you know, just stepped out of one, you know, okay. recently stepped out of one, but I've experienced it before, definitely, yes.
Okay, cool. So that's it. That's it. I'm ordaining Monique Roughness, the expert on this conversation. So here's an email.
That's really funny because I'm very new at this, but I love it. Go ahead.
Well, you know, you wrote an article yesterday, and it's called The Many Pleasures of Polyamory. So, of course, you talk about all these different brothers, the sage, the dad, and all that. So, yeah, you know, I'm just only quoting you. Here's a question that was emailed. You sort of spoke to this a bit, and the question is, what are the challenges to managing more than one partner? And are there rules of engagement?
I mean, for me personally, this is only my personal opinion. There's time, and because I like a lot of time to myself, like I'm not one of those kind of women or people who likes to be around people all the time. I really like to be by myself a lot. So I have to really be able to set, for lack of a better word, boundaries. Just really, that's not what it is. It's asking for what I want and asking for what I need and creating the space for that to be okay without people that are involved with me taking it personally. And and so the challenge is, that's one of them, is time. The other one is the practice of honesty and transparency. Everybody is not ready for that. And just because I am, it doesn't mean that the people that I'm in relationship with are there or willing to be vulnerable. And just because they aren't willing or capable, because some people just haven't seen vulnerability, so it's foreign to them. Like, you know, you grow up as a black person in this country, you're born with a shield. Like, you come here with your shield and your sword. You come here ready for battle. So to then go into an environment where you're going to put your shield and your sword down and open your heart is a foreign experience for most black people. And so I have had the gift of being able to practice that a lot because I have had to be vulnerable in my life in order to be taken care of, you know, as a child. It's just been what I've learned is a tool for my survival. So vulnerability is difficult for me, but it's not impossible for me. I can get to it a little more easily sometimes. So I have partners who are just not even, they're like, what are you talking about? Tell you how I feel. Like, you know, like, I feel like you should do what I say. Or you should, right. You know, they're like, what do you mean? How do I feel? Like, just tell me how to give you what you want. That's all they're like. Like, how do I just give you what you want? I'm like, tell me how you feel. Tell me how you're experiencing this. And so that's a challenge as well, like really being able to practice transparency with grown men is not an easy thing to do. And then the work on myself to be able to say, how are they mirroring me? Like, where are they my teachers? So I'm not in a place of constant blaming and victimhood and, you know, you did this and I wanted this and you didn't. I mean, there's a little girl in me that can show up and cry and be so selfish. And so I have to manage that because being in relationships with multiple people requires that I be a grown-up. And it requires that I say, this is what I said and this is what I would like and this is what I heard you say and this is what, like, really being accountable for the experience and the process with this person and with this, because I might have one partner who can meet me right there and who's like in it and no resistance, and then another partner who's like, what the heck are you talking about? So
So let me ask you this, and I want to ask the brothers, because you said something about vulnerability and grown men, and I want to ask this question before we take a break. For you, Monique, how do you define vulnerability?
Well, my definition of vulnerability is being really willing to show all aspects of yourself. So the parts that we define as weak or shadow or the things that we would generally hide because we don't want to, we want to be seen a certain way, to be able to bring that stuff out. Like something really, one of my friends recently sent me a text saying, I read one of your articles and I realized I wasn't as jealous this time. And I thought to myself, I've known you for years, and I've never, ever heard you even say one time that you were jealous. So the fact that you're saying that you're not jealous lets me know that you have been jealous and you did not share it with me. So that's a place where we didn't create intimacy. That's a place where I wasn't able to meet you in a space of intimacy to hold with you an aspect of yourself that might have been uncomfortable for you. That's what
Let me go to Don Wolf.
It creates intimacy. Okay.
Yeah, it does. No, actually, that's a very good point. Vulnerability creates intimacy, because without vulnerability, you can't have intimacy. You can't penetrate that wall. Once the wall is up, what are you really in touch with? And that's a very good point. I want to go to Don Wolf. He talked about vulnerability earlier and being a man of color. Don Wolf, how would you describe, how would you define vulnerability, and especially in how men, grown men, to use the word of Monique, grown men can start embracing vulnerability?
Well, Monique said something very telling when she said that people often don't have the example of it in their lives. And so I found that to be true also. And so I've introduced people, when I could, to my parents without telling my parents what I'm doing, so that they could see the type of vulnerability between them. But the other thing,
can you explain that part? I don't quite get it. What do you mean you introduce people to your parents?
Well, my parents are good examples of vulnerability, and my father's a great example of the contradictions that men possess when they are the leaders of their head of their home, project strong masculine energy, as my father does. But the truth of the marriage is that mommy is the one that daddy based his entire life around, and her word was the power, without taking away from him. And then I watched my father when I was growing up. I watched the way he was always trying to get some, which is a hipper way of saying he was always romancing mommy. And even on mommy's deathbed, he did that in a different kind of way.
Wow.
Well, okay. Monique also said something that would help bring some clarity to the to this. When she said what she needed was someone to mirror her, and I'm trying to, because that one statement alone exploded in my head, because when I'm doing work with developing young men into men who are preparing some for initiations, this is a very difficult thing to do, because she said that, when Monique said that, she was saying, this is what I require. And when if you learn how to listen, which it takes time for us men to learn how to listen, that's what women are always saying. They're asking, will you be a mirror? And if the mirror goes in reverse. So one answer that I could give is that this is if you're going into this world that Monique is talking about, you're moving into mystery teachings, and so this becomes a challenge to the it becomes a challenge to the warrior. Now, I'm not talking about some cat on the street who thinks he's a thug and is willing to shoot or ride or die or get rich till they get rich or die trying. That's stupid stuff. I'm talking about the vulnerability of it.
Yes.
So it's not an easy question to answer. If I'm speaking for the young people that I'm, or the men that I'm working with, but one answer that I want to say is that we have to change the way that the creation story and how that dominates our life with most people. It's the Adam and Eve story. We have to change that, what that story has interpreted itself in us men. And so it has given us some, it's a sparse story, but it has given us a direction that we miss. And one of the last thing, I should cut this short because I want to hear the others. The I think it was Kasimbe had mentioned about the tradition in the Bible of men with different wives earlier. And he was saying, really, remember he said that? He was, well, most black folks are into the Christian doctrine, et cetera. That moves into the subject of really doing what Monique and many women are saying, go vulnerable. If you want to go vulnerable, you're really challenging manhood. And it's a dare to go into the depths of what culture dictates. We could never do what the men in the Bible did because their culture was set up in a way that's different from the Western culture. But those men, having lived in that world, those men have requirements of vulnerability that's more along what Monique said, because those men, when I'm talking about West Africa now, when I'm in those places, those men shared with me and my father about the way they had to listen to what their wives wanted, because they said that it takes wisdom to be the man of two or more wives. And so they developed a vulnerability. They had ears to it, but they had a masculinity and a sense of manhood that was very dangerous, because they were in tune not only to their mothers and the wives, I mean the mothers of the children who were their wives, they were also listening, they were all listening to the danger of having multiple wives in there, because some really dark things had to happen. And so this pushed the men that I met into going very deep into what that means to both mirror, to judge, to govern your spirit, and most important, to listen to what is actually being said, because without those tools, you cannot have more than one wife and be successful going through old age. In our culture, in the United States, there's the leaning is towards being an individual, asserting yourself. And it's not, you don't think in terms of a group dynamic. Monique is requiring the expansion of several things in men that most of us cannot do, because this whole subject for most of the men is centered around sex and sexuality.
Right, right. Let me jump in there, because I want to. They've got quite a few questions. You know, I love what you said, vulnerability, about the journey into the mystery. I mean, I love that, and I think for us men, it does feel like something we cannot do. I believe we can. It is scary as hell for most men, but there's got to be a willingness. Let me go to Kasimbe and then Ashande. Kasimbe, your thoughts on vulnerability, and what advice would you share with grown men, and to not be, well, I can't even say not be afraid, because that's just a given. What advice would you give for men in the area of vulnerability?
Well, I think well, I love what Brother Don Wolf was saying, so on point. Well, boy. I guess they have to ask themselves a question, you know, what sort of relationship do they want to have? And do they want to really live as a full man? Do they want to be a complete, whole man? And if they do, then to the extent of which you do not embrace your vulnerability is to the extent of which you still live in fear. So,
right.
You know, we got these guys that are quote-unquote tough and all this type of stuff, but you can't be vulnerable. Well, there's your fear. You're not really all that tough. So
that's right.
You know, really, it really comes down to that. But also, once you have made that decision, then it's also about picking those people or that mate, that woman, whomever, man, whomever, that you believe will accept your vulnerability, and also you being in a space where you can accept theirs as well. So it's about first, I believe, accepting our own, defining who we want to be, what sort of life do we want to live, do we want to have these fast, surface, quick, broad relationships, or do we want to have some depth to our relationships?
Indeed. So real quick, in a sentence, what's your definition of vulnerability?
My definition of vulnerability, it's boy, you know what, and I actually did a workshop on this, and my definition is, oh, my goodness, and I should have had this memorized. This is such a shame. You caught me off again, Ade.
hey, if you're around me, you better be ready.
I know.
I'm listening to a deeper voice. Okay, while you do that, let me go to Ashande.
Yeah,
let me go to Ashande.
Okay.
And we're gonna apply the elevator speech approach to this conversation because there's up to about, I've got about five questions I want to get through it all. Ashande, so your definition of vulnerability, and what would you share with men in the area of, you know, to learn to be more vulnerable and be able to listen, because that's really what it's about. Elevator speech.
Well, yeah. Vulnerability, I would say, is back to what the sister Monique was touching on about being transparent. But it's also being transparent to your own inner
mm-hmm.
self.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to do with self-love. So the as we get into self-loving, as we get into our own unfoldment within that, you're able to be vulnerable. And so that's all I got to say on that.
Thank you very much. Okay, Kasembe, real quick, and then we're going to take a break and come back. Somebody, you back?
Okay. Definition of self-love, of vulnerability, basically acceptance and communication, and truth. Acceptance, communication. So, you know, basically acceptance times communication times your truth is being vulnerable to me.
Yes. I love acceptance because that's really what love is, acceptance. And when we can learn to accept our own shadows, as Monique said, our own mess, our own issues, our own insecurities, then it's easier to accept in other people. We're going to take a break. But before we do that, I need to tell you, you know that already, but if you don't, you're listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. All the shows are archived, and you can come back to lifeconversationsradio.com, lifeconversationsradio.com, to listen again, or simply subscribe to iTunes and enter Life Conversations that you subscribe to it, and then the shows will be downloaded on your gadgets and gizmos. We're going to take a quick break. So when we come back, panelists, I want us to embrace the elevator speech, just real straight to the point, and because I want to get through all of this, and we got to be done at 2:00. Yes, indeed. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. Jack, what are they listening to? Tell them again.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, this is Mark Hussman, founder of 12radio.com, and I'm here to support Life Coach Ade. I like what Life Coach Ade does, and I like the message that's given out. If you like the message and you have a product that you'd like to also announce that would reach like-minded people, consider sponsoring the show. The pricing is great, and details will be given after this message. Keep spreading the love, guys. Thank you so much.
Yes, indeed. To request a sponsorship package, send an email to radio@lifeconversationsradio.com. That's radio@lifeconversationsradio.com.
This is Life Coach Ade, host of the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show on Life Conversations Radio. Well, you know, no matter how much you grow in consciousness, no matter how much you know, you are going to interact with other people. So what's the point of being spiritual and being enlightened without learning to get along with others? Well, that's what the show is about. On the show, I share tools and techniques and just inspire you to celebrate your relationships, to celebrate who you are, because together we make a difference. You know, we need each other. And when we unite together, we can make magic happen. We can shift our perception and create miracles in our lives. Join me every Monday, 12 p.m. Eastern on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
Ready to live in the yes? Join me, Rev D, the Reverend Dr. Deborah Johnson, here Tuesday evenings, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific. Call in with your questions and comments as together we explore spiritual qualities and learn practical tools that unleash our spiritual power. We mix in some music, spoken word, readings, prophetic utterances. You want in on this? Living in the yes. 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Life Conversations Radio.
Are you ready to come out to play? To passionately love and appreciate who you are? Join me, Mombasa Sophia, on the playground of life, the play experience, every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, where we always serve a raw, delicious smorgasbord of healing the mind, the heart, and the soul into this spectacular circle of life. Are you ready? See you on the playground. Be there or be square. The Play Experience, 7 p.m. each Thursday, here on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
Life Conversations. It's all about positivity. It's all about self-empowerment. It's all about Life Conversations.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Yes, indeed. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show. Today's conversation is on about open relationship. I have Monique. She's a writer. She writes for Purple Clover, where she lets it all hang out. No pun intended. Kesembe is a certified Reiki master. Ashande is a practitioner of Center for Spiritual Living and an artist. We have Don Wolf, a musician, keeper of stories. So, guys... Oh, sorry, Monique. I shouldn't say that. Monique, when I say guys, I'm not referring to you. I'm referring to the guys.
Okay. Guys and ladies.
So, the guys and ladies. That's right. So this is what I'm going to do, guys and ladies. I got questions. I'm just going to throw it at you. Keep it short and to the point so we can answer all of it. I'm going to start with Monique, the expert. So here we are. The question we got from Melissa, she said, if you believe in open relationship and you meet someone new, how do you let them know what you believe and your thoughts on open relationships without them feeling as if they have a free booty ride or sex ride? AKA booty call, I guess.
Yeah, so. That's a good question. Good question. Because someone here said that men often sort of dwell in the space of sexuality, which I appreciate that. Like, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But I am just transparent. Like, I, just because I am open, it doesn't mean that that means that I want to sleep with everybody. It just means that, first it means I'm open and transparent, which says that I'm going to speak my truth. So if I'm interested in you sexually, I will say that. I will say I'm interested in being sexual with you. And if I'm not, I'll say that too, because I don't have anything to hide. It's simple. It's not a big deal, really.
Yes. It's not a big deal. Let's go to Kasembe. Do you want me to read the question again, Kasembe?
No, I think I got it. Just being open to someone and letting them know that I'm open, but it's not a booty. It's not automatic. Got it.
Yeah, and it's not a free booty call or a free booty ride, as Melissa puts it.
right. It's not a free ticket on the roller coaster of booty rides. I got you. I think just as Monique said, you know, go ahead and state that. Say, listen, you know, my connection and my desire to be with multiple people at the same time is not necessarily just a physical one, but it can be an emotional one. It can be a mental one. We can share other interests. So it's not just about that. This is, you know, I'm connecting with human beings, and we still have to determine, get to know each other, and find out how we connect, how we mesh, how we gel. And sometimes that takes time. So it's not a license for you to just run through me.
Say that again, Kasembe?
I was saying, or disrespect me. I think a lot of men just say, oh, I can just use and abuse. No. Men really need to stop that because a woman is sitting in her own power. They take that as a license to abuse, and that's not what that is at all.
Right,
let's
but
go
as
to
a woman, can I just say
go
really
ahead.
As a woman,
yeah, sure.
I am a person who, like, no one can use and abuse me if I don't sign up to be used or abused. So I hear what you're saying, but it is, I don't, as a woman, I hold the power to say yes or to say no. And and I don't make men responsible for what I allow in my space.
I hear you. Very well. Okay. Very well.
Ashante, your thoughts. How do you let somebody know you're into an open relationship but it's not a free booty call?
Sister just spoke on it. It's basically how you're showing up. So, you know, if you're transparent enough, if you're open enough with yourself and how you're approaching the person, they're already going to know what time it is. So,
Right. Exactly. Let's go to Don Wolf. Don Wolf, your thoughts on that question?
I don't know how to speak for a woman. It was a woman that asked the question. I would agree with Monique's answer. As a man, when I have been asked that question, just the fact that a woman asks, I just become very honest and blunt and talk about it. I don't know what else you can do except just do what Monique said. Tell your truth. Tell your story.
Tell your truth. And that's the thing. Ultimately, once again, the expert, Monique, you know, the idea, you're in control, whatever it is. And if you're just attracted to somebody sexually, then let that be known. Either way, it's going to be a free booty call one way or the other. It's just if you're clear about it, everybody's honest. I mean, if you ain't trying to do that, let it be known. I mean, you can invite me to a vegetarian party.
Here's the deal with it. Somebody said earlier, I'm so bad with the names. Forgive me. It would be much different if you brothers were sitting in front of me. Someone mentioned the spiritual component of this. So in this, for me, the experience of open relating has, because my life is a spiritual experience and journey. So any person that I encounter and approach and receive as a spiritual teacher or influence in my life. So I really don't have any booty calls. Like, that's not how I would ever, because it's all for me about an opportunity to connect with the person and have a deep spiritual encounter that includes a sexual encounter. And and what am I doing with that? Is it a practice of manifesting, or what? How is this sexual experience spiritual? and more than mm-hmm. just about getting to an orgasm. So booty call right. in our society has a very, we think of it as a low-level thing, but I could meet somebody right now and decide to have sex with them, and it wouldn't be a booty call the way we think of it. It could be a, you know, this person is God incarnate, as am I. Mm-hmm. We are going to have an encounter that is going to uplift us both. And
mm-hmm.
nothing does that like sex. Like, sex
yep.
is the
mm-hmm.
most transforming experience there is, other than having a baby, but everybody can't relate to having a baby. But it is next to giving
right.
birth, it is the next best thing to creating transformation. Mm-hmm.
Indeed, I so agree with you. And I would just say this too. If you're thinking, well, I don't want them to think it's a booty call, then you got to check your own consciousness. The fact that you're thinking that thought lets you know where you are about it. Now, Monique, you sort of spoken to this question, but I want you to maybe have a little bit more to add to it. So we got a few more questions, but let's do this. Can one be involved in polyamory and still be spiritual? Monique, and then I'll go to the brothers.
Absolutely. You want me to go
mm-hmm.
into detail?
a little bit.
You can. Okay. Yes. The answer is yes, because I feel like every relationship, everything is a spiritual practice, a spiritual experience. Mm-hmm. So, if you have the more experiences you have that assist you in realizing your greater capacity to love, to be yourself
yes.
more fully, then it is a spiritual practice. So relationships
mm-hmm.
do that like nothing else do. And so if you have more than one, the more relationships you have, and they don't have to be sexual, the better
mm-hmm.
you have, the better chances you have of reaching, of growing and evolving.
Yes. Ashanda, your thoughts on the question?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in my own experience, that I had, I was shown levels of compassion, of growth that I don't think would have ever had happened if I didn't have those experiences, you know, tapping more into my own feminine energies and how to just be, to be there, to be open, to be receptive. All of that is spiritual, because you can't get
mm-hmm.
spiritual without none of that. So,
right.
Yeah, you can definitely be spiritual.
Don Wolf, elevator speech. Can one be involved in polyamory and still be spiritual?
Yes. That's my Arnold Schwarzenegger reaction.
Cassandra,
well,
you're
like
that. Go ahead, Don Wolf.
No, also, yes, and that's how I was trained.
Mm.
And what Monique said earlier about the spirituality and as opposed to or within the context of what could be a booty call, that's what I was talking about. That was one of the things I was referring to about the depth of what women like Monique bring, and that's what I was talking about that is so terrifying to almost every man I know who is a predator. She's terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Because that's what she's asking for.
Let me go to Kasembe.
Wow,
your thought,
that makes me sad.
I understand. Kasembe.
My answer is absolutely, and I think it comes down to intention. You know, how, as Monique was saying, how you're living your life, as I think everyone has said thus far, how you're choosing to live your life. If you're seeing things from a certain perspective, that will also occur within whatever relationships you have or in all spheres of your life. So absolutely. And it can only deepen
mm-hmm.
when we connect with another human being and seeing the God in them and ourselves as well and feeling that communion of spirit. So absolutely.
Okay. I'm going to ask the next question and go to Monique. I'm just going to do it in that order and just make it easy on me because I'm trying to squeeze all this question in. So here's another question. With the cultural focus being on finding that one, that one and only in books, movies, and regular print. How can being in a polyamorous relationship expand one's idea about love and human connection? Monique?
Wow. All I can say is that I suffered from that disease for years. Like, literally, I used to dream of wedding dresses and diamond rings and flower arrangements. It is a compulsion in the American woman that drives her to that idea of one, the only one, your Prince Charming. And, like, I have experienced it viscerally inside of me, and letting it go is like getting off of drugs. That's what I want to start with that. And my discovery is that it is a lie. It is an illusion. It is not true. And I'm not saying that you can't be in a monogamous relationship and be satisfied. But what I am saying is that the one is not out there. The one is within you. And the society has it set up that we have to go out and find the Savior and not really understand that the Savior is within us. So really what we're going to do in a relationship that is monogamous, and I am completely open to monogamy, and one day I might, because I don't ascribe myself to anything, I might wake up one day and be like, oh, I'm monogamous. I'm fine with that because I'm growing. But the reality is that if I'm in a monogamous relationship, I have to hold that what I bring, I am the one, and I'm going to bring the oneness within me to the one that I am with. And this person is not here to save me or to cure me or to be my all. Like, this person is a human being, and we're going to share this journey. But that there is no the one, except in the mirror. That's the only one that there is.
That's right. That's the only one.
Yeah.
Before I go to Ashande, just coming from listeners, Melissa said that question was not only for women. I know that's right, but the man, but the man believes that they have the free ride. Well, you know, people can believe whatever they believe. That's what I say to that. Darcy said, Monique just spoke briefly on one thought I had. It's not only about a physical relationship. Love and happiness, a.k.a. Tia said, women also can't.
You're breaking up,
power.
Jay.
I'm breaking
you're
up.
You're like underwater.
It's Mercury. It's Mercury messing with me. I just don't like this. I need to have a meeting with the planets. So I read that again. Melissa said that question was not only for women, but the man believes that they have the free ride. I think it's all about staying in your power, whoever, you know, not just you, Melissa. And Darcy said, Monique just spoke briefly on one thought I had. It's not always about having a physical relationship. And by physical relationship, I'm guessing you mean sex. Love and happiness. Said, a.k.a. Tia, she said, women also can't leave their power in the bedroom. I'm not quite sure what you mean by that, that they can't leave their power in the bedroom. Can you explain? Now, let's go to Ashande with the same question, which is, I got to pull that up, unless you remember, Ashande. If you don't, I'm going to pull it up right now. I need to pull it up for myself. Oh, Lord. Yeah, this job, this ain't for everybody. Stop it. Stop it. You said you were going to do this. Okay, here's a question again. Now I'm going to go to the brothers. With the cultural focus being on finding that one and only in books, movies, and regular print, how can being in a polyamoric relationship expand one's idea about love and human connection? Ashande. I would say first it expands it by your awareness of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Who you are, what you are capable of bringing. Also, your givingness, how open are you to give, how open are you to receive, and how connected you are to preconceived notions of being with someone.
Mm.
So that's a major connect for me right there.
Okay, let's go
truly,
to Donald.
Are you truly willing to allow someone to be free?
Mm. Yeah, just leave that right there. Don't even add anything to that. Let's let that just hang. Let it sit. All right, Don Wolf. Short and to the point.
Mine. Say the question again. I'm thinking about what Monique said.
With,
with the cultural focus being on finding that one and only in books, movies, and regular print, how can being in a polyamorous relationship expand one's ideas about love and human connection?
I can see how, but how it happens is completely dependent upon one's spirituality and dependent upon what they have unlearned. And when Monique said that the one is not outside of his or herself, it is within, she said, I'm the one, I'm going to bring the oneness with me, and I assume she was saying to the relationship, and there is not only one, that the one is in the mirror. And she captured the answer, what I understand. And and I think, I also believe that it's possible when you follow what has the last two answers to the natural conclusion that you have to evolve out of crudeness into the higher realms, the finer realms of who you are, the finer realms of just being a person.
Indeed. Kasembe, your thoughts?
I think that, as Monique said, Brother Don will finish Sunday. You said something about self-love and how it really comes down to self-love, loving the self, being vulnerable, which is, and I think a byproduct of that is acceptance. I think that's really the key, really self-exploration and being willing to also being honest about what you like, what resonates with you and who you are, and then taking that and meeting people, having relationships, learning more about yourself and others, and so that there's a synergistic exchange. I just think that's the key, but it really starts with self, as everyone is saying here. It really starts with self and really being honest about who you are, what you want, and what resonates with you. And that's sometimes very difficult to do, as Monique said, you know, almost like getting off drugs, because, you know, how do you quiet the noise? And that can be very difficult.
How do you quiet the noise? I know that's right. Okay, next, let's go to the next questions. We've got two more. Let's squeeze all of it in. So I'm going to start with Monique again. Monique, so the question, next question is, conflicts tend to arrive in relationships when people commit to monogamy but start engaging with multiple partners on the down low. This sense of betrayal is where the pain comes in. How does one heal and not become bitter, whether they are monogamous or polyamoric?
Well, I think the first step in healing for me has been, I have not had a lot of drama in open relating relationships. Honestly, I feel like I've been much more mature and much more myself and have alleviated the drama to some degree. I have experienced hurt in monogamy, and how I have healed those relationships, or the one that was the longest term relationship in my life, was through taking responsibility for how I was showing up and how I helped create the devastation that happened within our relationship. Whether I was the person that betrayed or did the betrayal, or, you know, received the, like, we create our realities. We create our relationships. People are mirroring us. The relationship isn't happening in a vacuum. Like, oh, that person cheated on me. And so, no, we create these environments where people aren't willing to show up in their truth, where we aren't willing to show up. Like, I can sense when something is going on with my partner. And if I don't have the courage to say, I sense that something is up with you, or that you're not feeling like yourself, or that you might need to communicate, if I'm not willing to say that, then I'm a part of the illusion that everything is okay. So in a relationship, how to heal betrayal and broken heart and all that is taking responsibility, like really being a grown-up. And that is not, that's hard work. In my book, that's not the easiest thing to do, but it is the most freeing thing to do for everyone.
Let's go to Kasembe.
How do we heal when there's betrayal?
I think that it is owning up and taking responsibility. I think that is key, as well as forgiving yourself and forgiving others.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if we realize that, to a degree, everyone has to put up with us just as we have to put up with everyone else. And I think we're kind of quick to forget our transgressions and quick to remember others have as they have transgressed against us. And I think that if we remember our own transgressions, then perhaps we'll be quicker to forgive others. And then once we, embrace that, then I think it's about communicating and being honest. And it's about saying, listen, okay, I messed up or you messed up. I'm not a devil because I've transgressed. You're not a devil because you transgressed. And let's come together and see how we can solve this and move forward.
Yes. Ashande.
Yes. Forgiveness, I touch on what Kazembe just said. Forgiveness is a major, major, major thing in the betrayal thing. Also, it's a time to transform and to transmute. And that's all I got to say.
Transmute, I say.
Yes. Don Wolf, how do we heal from betrayal, mistrust?
We unheal painfully. it takes a long time.
I love it. Yes.
And you learn as you go. There are a lot of books to help you, but inside, you got to walk through that pain until you come to a place of truth. It's like coming to the top of a hill and there's a plateau up there. It's where the sun meets the top of the mountain. And then everything is very clear. But getting there, oh, my Jesus. From experience, it's just painful.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. You got to feel, deal, and heal. If you don't want to feel, you can't deal with it. If you don't deal with it, you won't heal. Okay, last question here, keep it short. Everybody, what do you learn about yourself when you are able to explore all your options sexually and romantically without any limits, without limitations?
That question gave me the chills a little bit. Or a chill. I've really only been, exploring open sexually for the past several months. And the biggest part, the revelations I'm getting are really shedding ideas that culture has about women, like that you are a slut if you like sex, that you have to look a certain way to be sexy or sexual, that you are, if you have more than one partner, then somehow that's sort of a sin or an abomination against God, like you're not virtuous. And so what I'm discovering about myself sexually is that all of those are just ideas. They're idea constructs that I have held as truth, and I have created a prison for myself with these ideas about society and religion that say who I should be sexually. And I have used those ideas against my natural sexual self to judge myself, to hate myself, to oppress myself, and to limit myself and from really truly being myself. And so as I begin to question those ideas and break down those walls and release them, I'm discovering who I truly am, and I'm beginning to love that I'm a sexual, sensual woman and not hide it. And it doesn't mean that it's a ticket for people to have sex with me. It means that I get to be myself, and I don't have any shame. So I can talk about sex the way I would talk about a meal, because they're both, like, to me, eating is as important as sex, and sex is as important as eating. Like, it's all central and universal to the human experience. We don't talk about it because we've been told that we shouldn't talk about it, that we shouldn't act on it. But the reality is that it's all we're thinking about. For me, it's a lot of what I'm thinking about all, a lot of the time. And men are given permission to be themselves in that way more than women are. And so now I'm realizing that I'm no different than the brother next to me who's thinking, you know, I want to do this. And I'm like, I'm thinking those same things. So I'm like, act on it. But I think that still, I'm like, look at him. But it would be blasphemy in the past to reveal that, because that would mean I'm a slut. That would mean I'm a whore. That would mean I'm loose. That would mean I'm unclean. But the reality is, all that's bullshit. I'm clean. I'm just sexy and sexual, and I enjoy what how God created me to be, and responsibly and lovingly, I want to take action in that way. Powerful. It's sometimes it's too big for me. Sometimes it's too big for me to own my own sexuality. I'm telling you, it is scary. It is scary and beautiful. Okay.
I hear all the sisters, Monique, as you talk, saying, go ahead, Monique, you better preach. Girl, teach. Let me go to real quick, because time is doing what time does. It moves. Kasembe, what do you learn about yourself when you are able to explore yourself, explore all the options sexually and romantically without limitations?
I find myself falling in love with myself continuously, again, and being a lot happier person because of it. And as Monique said as well, you find yourself peeling back the layers and questioning everything that you have believed. And it's questioning it with the intent to find out your real truth. And then once you, you know, once as I'm in the process of finding my real truth, really embracing that and moving forward.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you very much. Ashendahi, your thoughts?
Well, I think that that's where the true bliss starts happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to just embrace that and get into that God self as you explore that. And the possibilities are unlimited. I can't even have this discussion until I'm in my 90s. Did ask me that. You know, I'm unfolding that. So.
And Wolf, your thoughts?
Ask the question again.
The question is, what do you learn about yourself when you are able to explore all your options sexually and romantically without any limitations?
I
short and to the point.
The short answer is that when my father at 14 gave me the choice to either be to learn how to be a man or a playboy, and I chose to be a man, he told me that's a good choice because what I'm going to teach you is applicable to both. And so the answer to that question comes from my choice to become a man, which led me not to get into anything but very deep relationships. And I, even though I know how, I chose not to become a player. And then the answer to the question, what I've discovered from this end of the spectrum is yes. The short answer is it's very deep, it's magical, and the things that I learned about myself were just extraordinary. They were frightening, but it gave me a strength and a connection to the spirit world and built a relationship with my death that blew my mind. I didn't expect that to happen, but it's like Monique said, the sex, right? Sex, that is the Messiah.
And I know that's right. So you're waiting for the Messiah to come? It's already here. No pun intended. I'm not going to touch that one. Even I'm not going to touch that one. But I'm going to be brave, yes. If you're waiting for the Messiah to come, you better take matters into your own hands. Oh my gosh. Oh, what you going to do with me? Just love me. Monique, thank you for your courage to express, to share your story and write about it and post it on the global platform to stimulate conversation. And
be bold enough to speak what other people are thinking. Thank you very much, my sister.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
My brothers, yes, you're welcome. My brothers, Kasembe, Ashande, Tom Wolf, you know I love you. I really, really am. I'm grateful for you, your perspective, what you bring to the table. And we're going to keep the conversation going. And we're going to, if you guys are available next month, we'll do something again. Maybe continue the conversation or another topic. We'll see what happens. I like to go and grow with the flow. So, Kasembe, Ashande, Tom Wolf, thank you very much.
Thank you, my brother.
We appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Woo! Thanks. I got to go sleep now. I need some smoothie. There we go. Okay, there you go. I lost myself there. I need some smoothie. I need a LA smoothie. I need to give myself some power lunch. Anyway, it's time to release the show. Thank you, thank you, thank you all for listening, for your questions, your comments, your thoughts. And make sure you check out Monique's recent article, which is The Many Pleasures of Polyamory. She's the expert. She probably could slap me for saying that. But she knows me. She knows who I am. But anyway, yes, love is freedom. Love is acceptance. Embrace relationship and use it as a spiritual practice. And if you ignore your sexuality, you're really ignoring your whole self. Do yourself a favor. And apply the truth, embody it, dare to be different, dare to be more. You can. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. I'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow we're talking about loneliness, neediness, and being a burden. You know, we don't want to be, you know, we don't want to be a burden onto somebody. But this world we're moving into, it is about interdependency. What are you contributing? Who are you going to be in this new age, this golden age? Thank you so much for tuning in. This is Troy Horn, God Light. Each and every one of us is a God Light. Shine your light, share your love, share yourself, and the world will be transformed. You can find Troy Horn at TroyHorn.com. Troy, HORNE.com. Peace and blessings. See you tomorrow. I'm out. The mama's baby has a daughter and two sons. Radio, don't play my songs. My kids rock out, they know the words and sing along. Circle of life, it's kind of strange. Sometimes it breaks my heart, but all of life is changed.
around me is perfect, all right.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.